My sermon today is Reflections on a Life. And as you know, we've all been going through the book of Genesis. We're on chapter 48 of Genesis. And we're on Reflections of Life. Now, we know Genesis is a book of life, but it's also a book of death. In some ways, the book of Genesis is a graveyard. You know, it tells us of how death started, from the mutilated body of Abel to the unbroken litany of deaths in chapter 5 to the destruction of the world in chapter 6. So like I said, Genesis is a book of death. Every one of the heroes introduced in the book, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, also died in its pages. It is a book of death. Chapters 48 and 49 chronicle the death of the greatest patriarch, Jacob, who lived for 147 years on this earth. But eventually the hour of his death came. Now, nobody likes to talk about death. I know I don't. So why am I talking about it? Well, it's a subject that we do our best to avoid, but death is stalking each of us, and one day, you know, we're going to leave this world. Hebrews 9:27 reminds us that just as people are destined to die once, and after that we're to face judgment. Now what we learn as we watch Jacob finish his life is that we can learn here how to learn that our... I'm sorry. What we learn here can help us live our life knowing that death is coming. Now, before we go into the chapter, I'm going to tell you that the title of the chapter is The Reflection of Life. And I'm going to have 4 points. We're going to reflect on the past. We're going to reflect on the providences or the provisions that God gave Jacob. We're going to reflect on his present. But we're also going to reflect on his promises. But let's go ahead and we're going to read chapter 48, so we know where we're going today. Starting in verse 1, it says, Sometime later, Joseph was told, "Your father is ill." So he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, along with him. When Jacob was told, "Your son Joseph has come to you," Israel rallied his strength and sat up on the bed. Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan. And there he blessed me and said to me, 'I'm going to make you fruitful and will increase your numbers. I will make a community of peoples. And I'll give this land as an everlasting possession to your descendants after you. Now then, you two sons, born to you in Egypt, before I came to you here, will be reckoned as mine. Ephraim and Manasseh will be mine, just as Reuben and Simeon are mine. Any children born after them will be yours. In the territory they inherit, they will be reckoned under the names of their brothers. As I was returning from Padan, to my sorrow, Rachel died in the land of Canaan while we were still on the way, a little distance from Ephrath. So I buried her there beside the road to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. When Israel saw the sons of Joseph, he asked, 'Who are these?' They are the sons God has given me here," Joseph said to his father. Then Israel said to them, "Bring them to me so I may bless them." Now Israel's eyes were failing because of old age, and he could hardly see. So Joseph brought his sons close to him, and his father kissed them and embraced them. Israel said to Joseph, "I never expected to see your face again. And now God has allowed me to see you, God's allowed me to see your children too. Then Joseph removed them from Israel's knees and bowed down with his face to the ground. And Joseph took both of them, Ephraim on his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left hand towards Israel's right, and brought them close to him. But Israel reached out his right hand and put on Ephraim's right hand, on Ephraim's head, though he was the younger. And crossing his arms, he put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Then he blessed Joseph and said, "May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly upon the earth." When Joseph saw his father's placing his hands on Ephraim's head, he was displeased. So he took hold of his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said to him, "No, my father, this one is my firstborn. Put your right hand to his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He too will become a people, and he too will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will become greater than he, and his descendants will become a group of nations." He blessed them that day and said, "In your name will Israel produce this blessing. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh." So he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, "I'm about to die, but God will be with you and take you back to your land, to the land of your fathers. And to you, as one who is over your brothers, I give the ridge of the land I took from the Amorites with my bow, with my sword and my bow." So the first part, Jacob, we talked about how Jacob reflected on the past. You know, going back to verse 3 and 4, Jacob remembers the spot when he says, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and there he blessed me and said to me, 'I'm going to make you a fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will make community peoples. Now I will give this land as an everlasting possession to you and to your descendants after you.'" You know, Jacob also remembered a night when he met God. He remembered an encounter with God in a place called Bethel. Turn with me, if you will, if you don't remember, Genesis 28. We're going to go back for a little bit of a history lesson today. All right. Hope you don't mind. Okay, if you look in there, you look at, remember what happened that night. Remember the covenant the Lord made with him. Remember the promises that God gave to him. Even as he was dying, Jacob remembered the place, even the time when he met God. You know, I have a question for you. Do you have a spot? Do you have a place in your past where you met God? Can you go there in your mind and remember that place right now? If not, you need that kind of spot. Because that place will draw more and more important to you as the moment of your death draws closer. You know, I'm not saying that anybody's going to die right now. But do you have a place that just really sticks out to you that you can never forget? Like, one place that I'll never forget seeing God, as funny as it sounds, me and Nora were dating at the time, and I was leading the ushers for the first time. And I was getting ready to have an usher's devo. And one of the times, we went to this place called Percy Priest Dam. And I had my Bible with me, and I was trying to put together a devo. And I was getting frustrated. Nora splashed me. I mean, I had my nice clothes on. I had my Bible. And she splashed me. I was more frustrated by the fact that she splashed me than that I couldn't think of what to think of, about what to say. But, you know, that's something that I'll never forget because she took me out of the moment and made me realize it wasn't about me. Yes. It was God's moment at that point in time. So that I can say I have some of those spots. I have a spot for that. I can say that I have a spot when I'm really struggling with sermons that me and Scott go fishing. It's a place to help. We play at a place off 43 called Tommy's. Because there's a trading post we go to. Right off by Canton. As a matter of fact, if you go over the bridge, you go from Brandon over into Canton. It's on 43. If you're heading back towards Brandon, you'll be heading towards 471. But that's another place I remember. You know, I've got those places that I can sit there and say, yeah, I've got spots for this. And so I think about those times. I think about those times when I just totally forget who I am. You know, and where I am. You know, and sometimes it's God saying, hey, you know, you're richer, you're mine. You know, and the great thing about it, when God takes me to those places, there's no angels calling, there's nothing special about it, it's just something that, you know, it's kind of like those who have been married before. You know, they go on their first date, something might happen that, you know, nobody would think it's a big deal. Like somebody spilled chocolate on the other person's shirt or something. You know, little details like that. But, you know, Jacob also remembered a spouse. You know, in verse 7. If we go back to Genesis 48. As I was returning from Padan, to my sorrow, Rachel died in the land of Canaan while we were still on the way, a little distance from Ephrath. So I buried her there beside the road to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. You know, he remembered the greatest love, but the greatest heartbreak of his life. He thought of his beloved Rachel. And for those who remember his story, how it took 14 years to be able to have her as his wife. Because if you remember, he was duped. He thought he was going to get her as the first wife, but no. He had to work extra hard to get her. You know, he remembered all the happy years together. But he also remembered how she died. You know, he remembered the love, but he remembered the loss. You know, Jacob saw Rachel as a high point of his earthly existence. You know, she had been dead for 2 decades, but Jacob never forgotten her. You know, as he looked at Joseph's 2 sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, staying for him, he was reminded of Rachel and her legacy. Just look back now at your walk. Think about all the people that God placed in your life. Do you have someone special in your past? do they have some meaning in your life right now? I mean, aside from a spouse, could it be somebody that you met in the church? Like, I can remember for me, when me and Nora were getting married, Barry Holt, who's an elder in Nashville, he did our counseling, but he was also one of my groomsmen. One of the things I'll never forget, he said, if you never remember anything else, remember this: love God, love your wife. You know, do you have those people in your life that you can sit there and tell them just how much they mean to you? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Barry Holt's still alive, so I can say that to him. Nora, I can say those things, that how much she means to me. All those things that are unspoken, I can even say them to her. But if you don't have somebody in your life right now, you know, I pray that you can maybe find somebody. You remember the Spirit. You know, as Jacob blesses Joseph's sons, he remembers an angel. Look with me in verse 16. He says, and he talks about the angel who has delivered me from all harm. May he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. And may they increase greatly upon the earth. You know, he remembers a divine encounter with God that forever changed his life. How many people remember Genesis 32 when he wrestled with the Lord one night? When the sun rose on a new day, and he walked different for the rest of his life. He remembers that day that Jacob became Israel. Jacob remembers the amazing, the life-changing work God did in his life. Do you have a place where you surrendered it all? Do you have a place where you laid it all and began to walk with the Lord without reservation? I mean, all of us, yes, we have our walk with God. Yes, we all said Jesus is Lord. And yes, we all laid it down. But some of us have those times to where it took until a very specific point to where, yes, we were totally surrendered. And I mean, totally is, okay, I've got my mask right here. I dangle this in front of you, and you go to grab it, but I still have a piece of it. I'm not totally surrendered. But if I go like this to you, it's totally surrendered. Just like if I turn over my car keys.
Yeah.
It's totally surrendered now. Do you have a point to where you were totally surrendered and did it without reservation? Do you have a time where you were? I mean, I know where I was saved. I remember being met in Nashville at a Mapco Express on night shift by a brother in Nashville. And I was working third shift at a gas station. Happy-go-lucky guy. Never forget the guy as long as I live. His name's Randy Hall. Always went in to go get his coffee before he went to work out at the Y. Hey, Richard, how you doing? I'm sitting there 6:30 in the morning. Man, I wish God would shut up. I'm ready to go to bed. Hey, Richard, how you doing? I'm sitting outside walking around with my cigarette, you know, trying to get the parking lot cleaned up. Hey, Richard, why don't you come out with me to church? Yeah. You know, for a while, he took yeah for a while to where he's like, no, I mean it. Come on. Why don't you come with me? So I go. And, you know, it's funny. And Nora keeps knowing I mentioned this, but she was the first person I ever met because she was an usher to open the door at the first church service I met that I went to. But I went there with an ulterior motive that day. I went to shut him up. And the rest is history. But the point is, you know, I had a place to where, you know, where I thought I surrendered it all. And when I got baptized was September 17th of 2001, just days after, you know, September 11th. So I thought I'd surrendered it all. No. It didn't take it. It took, believe it or not, until last year to when I really surrendered it all. And I finally realized that. Because of the fact that, you know, Sydney had asked me for some help. You know, over these last couple of years. And Sydney asked me, you know, if he could trust, you know, if he could count on me. And I kept telling him, you know, yeah, you can count on me. Yeah, you can count on me. But I didn't realize that there was a point to where I still had limits with him. Until that final time that I said, yeah, you can count on me. To where, yeah, God could count on me. But have you ever had an encounter with the Holy Spirit? To where, you know, the Holy Spirit changed your life and changed it forever. You know, if not, you know, this can be the place. Just by hearing this message about Jacob can be this place if you want. If that's what you need in your heart, if it's what you want, what you need in your life, if you need it to be your place in life. So that way you give it all to God, no leaving nothing back. No crumb, no crevice. Now the second point I have is we're going to talk about the providence that God promises us. Now you might wonder what's providence. The way God takes care of us, He protects us. The way He provides for us. You know, as Jacob's dying, he looks back over the years of his life, and he remembers the times when God blessed him along the way. You know, let's see what he remembered. You know, I'm sure, you know, he remembers, you know, the times when God moved in his life and his will to lead Jacob into the right path. I mean, we already talked about verse 3. I can talk about verse 11. When Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face again. And now God has allowed me to see your children too. You know, I look back at, you know, and I thank God for how he looks back and how he loves his people. You can write this down. Psalm 37:23 and Psalm 42. Again, that's Psalm 37:23 and that's Psalm 40, verse 2. But he also remembered God's provisions when he says in verse 15, when he talks about God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. You know, he remembers the past, and as he does, he remembers what the Lord does provide for him. He remembers the God who always came through for him. You know, that's the God we serve today. You know, there may have been some rough times along the way. Some of us have had hard times that we can talk about. You know, where we wonder, well, where is God if we really needed him? You know, is he there to really protect us? You know, but think about Matthew 6:25-34. You know, do not worry. You know, he's got our backs. You know, if we'd be honest about it, we'd have to remember that God has met all of our needs. Amen. You know, and he has blessed us far above and beyond anything that we deserved. You know, God has been good to his people. And you can also put down where he put Psalm 37, go 23-27. But see, also talking about remember God's provisions. You know, he remembered his power. You know, remember when he says, You know, at the beginning of the verse, he's called Jacob. I'm sorry. When Jacob was told, your son Joseph has come to you, Israel has rallied his strength and sat up on the bed. You know, you see that transition. You know, at the beginning of the verse, he is called Jacob. At the end of the verse, he is called Israel. You know, Jacob means trickster, heel grabber, supplanter. Israel means prince with God. And as he lays dying, he takes some time to remember the God who changed his life. He remembers the awesome power of God working in him and through him, changing him from what he was to what the Lord wanted him to become. That's my experience as well. You know, I want to praise the Lord who has changed my life. You know, he has saved me, and he is making me a new creation for his glory. You know, which brings me to the third point, and I know this has gone long, and I'm sorry. But Jacob's looking at his present. Let's look at verses 8 through 11, if you will. When Israel saw the sons of Joseph, he asked, who are these? They are the sons God has given me here. Joseph said to his father, then Israel said, bring them to me so that I may bless them. Now Israel's eyes were failing because of old age, and he could hardly see. So Joseph brought his sons close to him, and his father kissed them and embraced them. Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face again. And now God has allowed me to see your children too. Jacob embraces the two sons of Joseph. Now there was a time when he thought that Joseph was dead and that there would be no offspring from that son. Now by the grace of God, Jacob not only sees Joseph again, but he also sees Joseph's two boys. That is grace in action. Can you see the evidence of grace around you today? I can see his grace in my family. You know, I can see his grace in the ministry. You know, I can see his grace in this church. You know, look at the things we've seen, the things we're doing, the things we're experiencing. You know, I could never imagined what God is doing for us this year alone. I mean, look at what God's done in the last 2 years in the Tri-County Church. I mean, that is grace in action.
Amen.
You know, and you know, Jacob expands that grace when he adopts the two sons of Joseph and gives them an inheritance among Joseph's brothers.
Mm-hmm.
He is, in effect, giving Joseph the double portion of the firstborn. When the inheritance of the nation of Israel was given many years later, there was no tribe of Joseph, but there were tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim. The grace that was active in Jacob's life flowed from him to successive generations. In other words, because of the grace of God that was on him, he was able to hand down a heritage, a legacy to those who followed him. That is what we ought to be doing today. Just as Jacob handed down blessings to his grandchildren, we ought to strive to hand down those gifts of God's great grace to those who are following after us. You know, I want to hand out a legacy of preaching and of worship and obedience after, you know, people who come after me. You know, I wish that my daughter were around. I wish that I could pass on what I have right now, but I can't. But you know, regardless, Jacob blesses Joseph's sons. Jacob gives the blessing of the firstborn to Ephraim instead of Manasseh. Joseph tries to intervene, suspecting that Jacob couldn't see what Joseph couldn't see what he was doing, but Jacob was carrying out the will of the Lord, and he knew exactly what he was doing. In the kingdom years, Ephraim became the most powerful and populous tribe in Israel, Manasseh being second. God gave the blessing to whom he chose. Mm-hmm. That is the way of grace. God blesses whom he will. God uses whom he will. God chooses one over another without explanation. That's why we're going to see one another being blessed more than ourselves. There's a human tendency to become more jealous. We should praise God for a simple fact that he even blesses us at all. We certainly do not deserve it. Yeah. Any blessing of God on our lives is pure grace. Any time the Lord uses us at all is pure grace. You know, I look around today and I thank God for his grace. Yes. And the last thing we're going to talk about, which was Jacob's futures, we're going to look at the promises. Starting in verse 21. Then near Israel says, Joseph, I'm about to die, but God will be with you and take you back to the land of your fathers. God had a plan for Israel. He led them into one day, and he would lead them out and back into the land of Canaan. They had a heritage. God made a certain promises to their fathers, and he would keep those promises to his people. You know, we have a heritage too here in the Tri-County Church. You know, our spiritual fathers believed God. You know, they loved him and they lived for him. They preached him day and night. They left a legacy of worship, holiness, pure religion. We would do well to honor our heritage. I'm not looking for a place to change roads. I'm not looking for a new way. As a matter of fact, I'm confident that the God who sent revival in the days of our fathers will send it again in our day. You know, I am confident that God who blessed the church in the days of our fathers will continue to bless the church in our day. I'm confident that God will continue to honor his word and keep his promises. Amen. Verse 21. When Joseph says, I'm sorry, Israel saying, I'm about to die, but God will be with you and take you back to the land of your fathers. And to you, who, as one who is over your brothers, I will give the ridge over the land I took from the Amorites with my sword and my bow. You know, we live with that same promise today. You know, Matthew 28:20. You know, God is with us all the time. You know, watching over is all we do. You know, he's here right now to protect you, sustain you, encourage you, bless you. You know, he is our helper. But he also is our hope. One day that God would visit his people and he would deliver them from Egypt and carry them home to Canaan. That was their blessed hope. And that's just what God eventually did for them. You know, think about the plagues in Exodus. You know, we have that promise as well. Our Lord is coming back for his people. You know, and that's what he's going to do when the time is right. In conclusion, I praise God that I can remember some of the great things the Lord has done in my life. I can praise him that I can look around today and see his hand at work right now. I bless his name that I have some promises for my future. Like Jacob, I can go to death. I can go to my death knowing that I've been blessed by my Lord. What about you? Can you say that you are saved according to God's standard? Can you see the provident? Can you see the providential work of God in your life? Can you see Him providing for you? Are you surrounded by His blessings today? Are you standing on the promises? If these things are true of you and your life, you are a blessed individual. I'll tell you that right now. And you should take the time to thank the Lord for His blessings and His grace in your life. To God be the glory.